Doug Wright.
Interrupting everything to cover breaking news.
You'll hear it first on KSL News Radio.
I'm really pleased to welcome two very distinguished guests to our studios. First of all, as always, I'm very pleased to have Senator Orrin Hatch join us here in studio. Senator, good to see you, and I love it when you bring along prestigious guests with you as well. And boy, today I think you've topped yourself.
Well, I'm always glad to be with you, and this is really one of the most prestigious people in the country. Really one of the great thinkers, one of the great protectors of America. I have great love and affection for him.
Michael Hayden is here with us. General, thank you so much for joining us here in studio.
Thank you, and Senator, thank you for those generous words.
And of course, not only a former retired four-star general, but also served as director of the Central Intelligence Agency and the National Security Agency. And while we have this kind of expertise here in our studio, if I were to ask you, what is the state of our national security today? Both of you have a long legacy in working in different, very different capacities, but with the same goal, to secure this great nation. Where are we and how do we stand? And General, maybe I could ask you first.
Sure. So, first of all, you know, we have been at war for 15 years. It's not something the general population encounters every day, but those in this line of work have had this intense operational tempo now for a decade and a half. So, number one, we need to recapitalize our forces. That will require reinvestment. We've used up an awful lot of things in keeping the country safe against terrorism for the past 15 years. So that will be number one for any new president. Second challenge is a bit more maybe philosophical or intellectual. In those 15 years, we have been incredibly focused on the immediate danger, which was the danger of terrorism. And by and large, we've actually been very successful keeping significant attacks away from the homeland, particularly foreign-based attacks. But you know, that's not the only danger, out there. Dave Petraeus, a week or two before he went for his confirmation hearings to become director of CIA, visited me at home, and we had a long chat. And I said to Dave, you have to realize CIA has never looked more like OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, that direct action arm in World War II,
right?
Wild Bill Donovan.
Yeah.
I said, Dave, CIA has never looked more like OSS than it does right now. And Dave, that's good because it protects us from terrorism. But Dave, you got to realize it's not OSS. It's the nation's global espionage service. And you're going to have to discipline yourself and the agency to keep that in mind as you go forward. What I'm trying to suggest is, for all the goodness we've done focused on the war on terror, there's a bunch of other stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
Cyber threats, nuclear proliferation, what the Russian Federation is up to, the rise of China. All of those are going to require not just our physical resources, but our conceptual energy to figure out how best to keep us safe to these broader, longer-term, perhaps slightly less urgent issues.
I know this is a grossly oversimplified question, but it's so the rest of us can understand it. Are we safer today than, say, for example, we were 20 years ago, 25 years ago?
We are safer today than we were on September 10th, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could just kind of ask your listeners to imagine me waving my arm in front of them as kind of a line on a graph, and I've got my right arm pretty high on September 10th, and this is a threat of terrorism. That line has steadily gone down for about 10 years, thanks to two administrations whose policies have been surprisingly continuous, surprisingly consistent. So we're getting better and better to about 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the withdrawal from Iraq, the Arab awakening, the growth of ISIS, that line has started to go back up. Now, it's not back up where it was on September 10th,
right?
But it's much higher than it was 1, 3, or 5 years ago. So that's where we are now.
Senator Hatch, I think of your many years in the Senate and all of the things that you have worked on to secure this nation, again, in a different capacity, obviously, than General Hayden. But your viewpoint on where we stand on national security right now?
Well, I think General Hayden and his successors and even predators, I shouldn't say predators, but those who came before him, they've done a very good job. Now, that doesn't mean that we're free of terrorism. It's very, very difficult to track all these various problems, and you never know when people just rise up in and of themselves, inspired by ISIS and maybe some of the other terrorist matters. But yeah, I think the general has really, and the director of CIA has really covered it very well. I think they have done a very good job. That doesn't mean we won't have more incidents. You know, this is a big country, and we have a lot of people here, and sometimes you have people who are nuts who will create these things, and others who think that they are members of some of these, you know, antagonistic organizations.
As bad as a foreign attack is on this country, which is just shocking, unthinkable, and fortunately rarely happens, the homegrown attacks, I think of Oklahoma City, that's back a ways now, yeah. But even the homegrown terrorists that we see just kind of popping up out of the social network world. And General, how do we protect ourselves against that? Those have been some of the worst attacks on America since 2001.
That's right. And in fact, that's all we've gotten since 2001. They've been kind of generated within the homeland, self-radicalized, or at least radicalized through indirect means, through the internet and social media. That's a really hard problem. Now, the good news is those kinds of attacks, almost by definition, will be less destructive than the kind we saw on September 11th. So the good news is, if the enemy wants to go ahead and attack us, we've pushed their capacity to do us harm into a much lower range of the spectrum. But you know, Orlando's bad enough.
Yeah.
San Bernardino's bad enough. And here we've really hit some really fundamental problems. How much more of our liberties, our commerce, our convenience are we willing to sacrifice to have, and here's the point, what I as a professional believe would be just a marginal increase in our ability to predict those kinds of attacks. I actually think one of the more powerful things we can do is to continue to take the fight to the enemy in his home court, not in ours. And we've actually begun to see some success against ISIS. Now, that's good. They deserve to be militarily defeated. It makes them less capable of planning. But in a somewhat strange way, it actually undercuts that remote recruiting narrative. Young, isolated men are attracted to Al-Qaeda to ISIS because they're successful. I mean, they get their jihadi mojo by actually winning, by acting as if they were the hand and the will of God, and that's obvious because God lets them win. Make them not win. Punish them. Defeat them on the battlefield. It not only has a physical effect, but it has a psychological effect to their recruitment narrative, mm-hmm. a double reason to go after them.
In the few moments that we have here, the cyber threat from not even radicalized terrorists and so on, but from rather sophisticated countries that not long ago we thought maybe we were forging a friendship with. I'm speaking specifically of Russia, obviously. There's cyber attacks. I mean, when the FBI is issuing warnings, I talked with our lieutenant governor, who's over elections, of course, in the state of Utah, said, yes, we're taking this very seriously. We're revisiting, making the elections safe and secure. How serious are the cyber threats from sophisticated governments that on other levels we do business with every day? And I'll ask that of both of you. Senator?
Well, I'll let the general answer that because he's an expert on that matter. But we're actually doing pretty well with regard to cyber threats. But it's a wide open area that nobody knows just how well we need to do. I mean, we're going to have to be on top of that. I think Congress has to do a better job of providing the monies and the ability to be able to take care of cyber threats. We're a long way from being where I want to be on cyber, but as far as the election's concerned, I think we can handle it without them interfering with our election process.
Years ago, many of us were reading Michael Crichton books and going, wow, could that really happen? And General Hayden, it's happening.
No, it is. But I agree with the senator's overall assessment. We know how to handle this, particularly now that we're up on the top step of the dugout, so to speak. We're alerted to this, and we'll protect our processes. But it doesn't mean that the overall problem goes away. This is going to be a continuous danger. I mean, look, over the past 10 or 15 years, you and I have taken things we used to keep in a safe or a locked drawer, at least in our house, and put them in our cell phone.
That's right.
Where they are incredibly vulnerable to these kinds of cyber assaults. Can I tie together the first set of questions to the last?
Sure.
Because it shows how difficult work this is. So a great issue in San Bernardino was busting into the terrorist cell phone. Recall that, and the whole debate about encryption. And, you know, a lot of people who take security seriously say, we got to bust that encryption. And yet now you and I are talking about the danger of cyber attack, where the idea of busting otherwise unbreakable encryption might not seem like it's as good an idea as it appeared in the first place. Do you see what I'm suggesting here? In order to defend ourselves against one threat, we may actually be thinking about doing things that make it harder to defend us against the other. Those are the kinds of challenges now we've got to talk through and decide on an appropriate course of action.
Well, I wish we could talk for hours. Senator, thank you so much for bringing this special guest into studio with us. And maybe I could quickly ask you, Senator, what have you guys been doing in Utah? What brings you here?
Well, I represent this state.
You're checking up on me, right?
Yeah, I represent this state, and I need to be here. And I have to say I've enjoyed this last month almost more than any month since I became a United States Senator 40 years ago. But I've also been doing things like bringing in people like the good general here. Like, I have such admiration for him. I've seen him in action. He's a steady, dependable, very articulate, very intelligent leader in this country and certainly in these areas. And I saw him in action. I saw the things that he was doing. And frankly, we're very lucky to have him.
Mm-hmm. And the agenda here, I think, is what I was kind of driving at. Senator, who have you been meeting with and what have you been hoping to accomplish here?
Well, I've been
Utah?
All over the state. This morning we were in this securities conference that is a very, very interesting conference. But I've been meeting with leaders in various issues all over the state. I was up in Ogden last night with a full military group that that is very, very important, Hillfield and the military. And I might add the intelligence areas at Hill Air Force Base are unsurpassed at any other Air Force Base or any other base for that matter. And you know, I've been all over the state meeting with people and meeting with businesses, talking to people, answering questions. It's the usual, where you just, you just work with your people and let them know that you're available.
I'm going to hold my newscast hostage for just a second more, because when I have expertise like this here in the studio, General Hayden, you know, Senator Hatch alluded to this. You look at what we have here in the state of Utah, the bombing and test range. We have Dugway. We have Hill Air Force Base, Camp Williams. And the list goes on. We have the NSA Center.
A lot of young men and women who are actually bilingual and contribute strongly to American security.
We have the F-35 here. Now, how essential is what we are doing here in Utah? Everything from the NSA Center to traditional military bases like Hill Air Force Base. What kind of role does Utah play?
It plays a very powerful role, and you and the Senator have just listed some of the facilities that are located in Utah, welcomed by the people of Utah, supported by the people and the government of Utah. It's a good environment for us to come and do our national security work. And it's a wonderfully welcoming environment from the landscape to the people, to the government. There are a lot of good Americans who weren't born in Utah, who love to serve their military service here. And again, let me put the plug in. The number of Utahns I meet in the armed forces of the United States is well above proportional averages.
General Hayden, what a pleasure to have you joining us. Thank you so much. And Senator Hatch, as always,
thank you. Always good to be with you.
I always appreciate you making this a pit stop when you bring special guests into our state and have things you want to discuss.
Well, they don't get better than General Hayden. He's been a great servant of the people. Interestingly enough, he comes from a very humble background and very similar to mine. Although we'll have to argue over which background was the most humble.
We're both Pittsburghers.
Can I chime in on that? Can I get in on the humble race here?
Yeah.
All right, we'll compare notes.
Okay.
Thank you, Senator Hatch, General Hayden. What a pleasure to have you joining us here at KSL News Radio, where it is 10:35.